Tonight at 6, issues with a ride leaving children stuck on a ride at the North Carolina State Fair. Children were safely removed. However, this is the second incident with the same ride reported this week. Plus, a man is dead after a shooting near a Wake County trail. What we're learning about the case.
And it was a breezy and fall-like start to this weekend. We have a beautiful forecast, though, on the way. We'll talk about if we could see any rainfall coming up.
Live from WRAL News headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Right now at 6 o'clock, a ride at the North Carolina State Fair got stuck this afternoon, leaving some children stuck. Thanks for joining us. I'm Chris Lovingood. You're looking live at the fair right now, and this happened in the kiddie section not too long ago, maybe give or take an hour. Now, everyone is safe and eventually let off the ride, but it's still down. WRAL's Carly Haynes is live at the fairground. So, Carly, this is the second reported incident with this ride this week.
It is. As far as today goes, this is the Wacky Worm ride right here. As you said, it's still down. We've seen numerous kids and families coming up these steps, going to the gate, only to find that it is still locked. And a witness at the fair told us that this initially went down about an hour ago, and the children who were on the ride had to be evacuated off. Now, WRAL got a hold of that witness video showing the ride stopped on the track. If this looks familiar to you, it's because a similar incident happened earlier this week on Wednesday. We spoke to the operator of the ride, which has a contract to supply the Wacky Worm for the state fair. They told us the incident earlier in the week, and the power shut down momentarily as the coaster was going up the hill. They guided kids off and worked to restore power, but at that incident, it was back up and running within 5 minutes.
The coaster got loaded up, it started, and then it went around the turn and up the first incline, and then it just, like, came to, like, a sudden stop, and, like, you could hear kind of, like, this, like, this kind of, like, air brake thing go off, and, you know, obviously it was clear that something was wrong.
As far as today's incident goes, the ride operator said they are looking into it. The State Department of Labor is the one who inspects the ride, and their inspectors on site at all times. But the person who's working right here said they expect to get this ride back up and running in about an hour. Chris?
Hopefully enough so people can get out there and enjoy the last couple of days of the state fair. Carly Haynes reporting live. Thank you, Carly. Wake County deputies are investigating a shooting that killed a man. Emergency crews got the call just before 6 a.m. and responded to Riverview Road near the Neuse River Trail. That's where deputies found the man dead. The victim has not been identified, and authorities tell us one person was detained and there's no threat to the community. Meanwhile, Raleigh police say a woman is recovering in the hospital because someone shot her. Officers got the call just after midnight and responded to Sawyer Road near McMakin Street. They tell us that the woman was taken to the hospital with serious injuries. Police have not released her name, and investigators are trying to identify a suspect and what led to that shooting. Cary police are investigating an overnight stabbing. They responded to a fight between two groups of men at Dogwood and Maple Streets. Now, police found two men who had been stabbed, and both victims were taken to the hospital with serious but not life-threatening injuries. A notable breakthrough this weekend as desperately needed humanitarian aid successfully crossed into Gaza. This as Hamas released two American hostages. Steve Nannis brings us more as the United Nations aims to establish continuous aid efforts to Gaza civilians.
A pivotal moment unfolds as international humanitarian aid successfully passes through the Rafah border crossing between Egypt and Gaza, the only passage in and out of the Palestinian enclave.
The shortages are going to kill many, many people. It's absolutely life or death at this point.
With the dire need for assistance intensifying, the once-closed border crossing briefly reopened, granting access to a 20-truck convoy laden with critical medical and food supplies. This in the wake of a heart-wrenching reality for Gaza civilians, who for more than a week have endured the deprivation of basic necessities like electricity, fuel, and water, Israel's complete siege in response to Hamas's October 7th terror attacks. The United Nations says more than 2 million residents in Gaza are in need of immediate aid.
I have to go to 6, 7, 8 different markets at times under shelling and during airstrikes to try to secure milk.
Those sentiments echoed by U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken, who, along with President Biden, also praised the release of two American hostages.
There are still 10 additional Americans who remain unaccounted for in this conflict.
Additional UN aid trucks are expected to move through the border crossing into Gaza on Monday. Steve Nanas, WRAL News.
Goldsboro police are investigating after someone shot and killed a man on South Best Street. Police say that's where they found 34-year-old Ahmad Rashad Hooker with a gunshot wound. He was pronounced dead right there, and authorities have not named a suspect. And troopers are investigating a crash that killed a woman in Wayne County. This happened around 1 a.m. on Stanley Chapel Church Road in Dudley. Investigators say the driver of a vehicle veered off the roadway and overturned. The woman did not survive, and authorities have not identified who she is. Athletes with Barton College's cross-country team were on a charter bus involved in a crash. This happened on I-85 yesterday afternoon. It was in Cabarrus County, not far from Charlotte. These are images from that scene. Several cars, a van, and the charter bus were badly damaged, and one car was nearly missing its roof. Four people were taken to the hospital, but there's no word on how they're doing so far. And all lanes of I-95 in Nash County are finally back open after a tractor-trailer crash. This happened this morning near Rocky Mount. All southbound lanes were closed for hours. It's unclear exactly what caused the crash or if anyone was hurt. There is no end in sight for the high-stakes battle for the Speaker of House position. House Republicans ousted Kevin McCarthy more than 2 weeks ago, and the search for someone to fill the vacancy hasn't gone well. Representative Jim Jordan exited the race yesterday. He failed to win the gavel for the third time in a floor vote. Frustrations and divisions have only intensified within the conference as Republicans search for a way to resolve the impasse. House Republicans are expected to hold a candidate forum Monday evening. Mortgage rates are climbing to a level we have not seen in more than two decades. It just hit 8% for the first time since 2000. That's for a 30-year fixed rate. These higher rates have caused mortgage demand to plummet. And last month, home sales dropped to the lowest level in 13 years. The town of Wake Forest focused on mental health at an event this afternoon. The Mental Wellness and Self-Care Fair provided important resources for people who need it. That includes programs and services available to anyone who may be suffering from undertreated mental illnesses. Town Commissioner Nick Solinsky led the fair.
We need to encourage people to have those tough conversations, whether it's with friends or loved ones. We need to reach out, and if you're feeling like you need to talk to someone, you shouldn't be afraid to do it.
The Fair of the Wake Forest Renaissance Center also offered activities for children and teens, as well as information for families, seniors, and veterans. The Diocese of Raleigh marked its 100th year of existence with a day-long series of events. This all began at 7 o'clock this morning with a procession starting at the Sacred Heart Catholic Church on Hillsborough Street to the state capitol. Now, from there, the procession traveled to the Raleigh Convention Center, and thousands of people attended Mass there. It started about an hour ago. Make sure you look for a new episode of Saturday Night Live tonight. Puerto Rican rapper and singer Bad Bunny will be hosting for the first time and also serving as musical guest. This is the second new broadcast since the writer's strike ended. You can catch SNL tonight right after our 11 o'clock newscast on WRAL. So ahead, an incredible feat, all for a good cause. How pulling a 50,000-pound jet is giving the Special Olympics North Carolina a big boost. Plus, we're hearing from Duke coach John Shire for the first time since his contract extension. You can look for that later in sports. Anthony?
And all is quiet right now at home here for us. We're a little bit breezy, but we're going to talk about here the tropics, where we have two systems we're watching, Hurricane Tammy and a new one that has popped up in the Caribbean Sea. We'll talk about where they're headed coming up.
You know what? We got a treat for you. Taking a live look right now over at Carolina Beach as the sunset is happening. Gorgeous day at the beach there. People clearly enjoying the lovely day that we have had on the coast. WRAL has uncovered the hidden secrets behind some of the most iconic football stadiums in the Carolinas. It's the subject of our brand new WRAL documentary, Ghosts in the Stadium. It premieres next week on WRAL. The historical documentary explores the unknown stories connected to these popular sports complexes, and that includes their links to the painful history of race relations in the United States. WRAL investigative documentary reporter Kristen Severance and WRAL sports anchor Chris Lee uncovered who these stadiums were named after, where they were built, and what communities were replaced.
There are people who lived real lives there, and we don't know who they are. And we should know who they are. And so right now, they're just ghosts. And if we discover more about their history and understand how it connects to today, then maybe we can move forward.
While some of the events at these sites happened more than 100 years ago, the effects can still be felt today. You can watch Ghosts in the Stadium Wednesday night at 7:30 on WREL or WREL.com. Chris and Kristen have worked very hard on this documentary. Please don't miss it. Making a difference. Sometimes it's a step-by-step process. Others, inch by inch. That's exactly what happened today at RDU with a special competition for a special cause. Here's WREL's Eric Miller.
Stephanie Wilkerson knows what it means to win.
I came home with a gold medal this year in cheering. I came home with another silver medal in equestrian. How cool is that?
The Special Olympics athlete competes in five different sports, but the challenge she faced Saturday, that's on a whole different scale.
We are pulling a 50,000-pound jet, 25 feet this year. Oh, my God. It is like playing tug-of-war with a big airplane.
Welcome to the Special Olympics North Carolina Plane Pool.
This year alone, we've got 65-person teams that are going to help us raise somewhere in the neighborhood of about $120,000.
Keith Fishburne is the president and CEO of the Special Olympics North Carolina. He says all that money goes right to the heart of the group's mission.
It's an important fundraiser, mainly because we never ask our Special Olympics athletes to pay any costs associated with their involvement in our sports program for folks with intellectual disabilities.
The plane pull has been held since 1999, but when the flag dropped Saturday, the challenge was bigger than ever.
It's a 50,000 pound where we're used to about a 45,000 pound. That makes a difference in the pull time.
Teams stretched and strained to get the best pull time, but on a day like this, everyone is a winner.
I did okay, I think, but here's the deal. I got a medal for the plane pull.
Eric Miller, WRAL News, Raleigh.
If you're interested in donating or getting involved, Special Olympics North Carolina has those details on their website. A team of girls were not only thinking pink today, they were playing pink. You can check out the pink socks that players were wearing at this NCFC Youth Pink Out game at WREL Soccer Park this afternoon. The soccer club is pitching in for Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Players are showing their support for breast cancer patients and survivors and for medical research.
So by wearing the pink socks, we're showing our support for breast cancer and anything we can do to raise awareness and support funds for further research.
Having cancer is not easy. Some people stay quiet and try not to vocalize it. Having them do this and just as simple using socks, it just makes you feel love, supported.
NCFC Youth is partnering with soccer.com to donate a portion of all pink sock purchases to the Pretty in Pink Foundation. Families got free dental screenings today at Fayetteville Tech. The community college's Youth Dental Fair educated people about taking care of their teeth. Kids at the event also enjoyed dancing, snacks, and meeting with Tucker the Mighty Tooth. Fayetteville Tech also has a dental hygiene clinic that provides cleanings, x-rays, and fluoride treatments for just $5 a visit. All right, let's get you a live look right now at the North Carolina State Fair. One of the final nights there. It is packed, as you can see behind my shoulder here. Folks, if you do go, make sure you don't forget to swing by the WREL tent on the northeast side of Dorton Arena facing Restaurant Row. You can meet Peter Sherwood and myself from 11:30 a.m. to 1:30 tomorrow, and then Mike Mays and Dan Haggerty from 2 to 4. Then from 4:30 to 6:30, Scott Mason and Keely Arthur will be there to chat with our viewers. You can find the list on WRAL.com. But before we get to that, you got to enjoy this sunset that we've got going on this right. Beautiful look at the North Hills. And if you like that look, meteorologist Anthony Baglione has a beautiful one there. What is that, Lake Gaston behind you there, Anthony?
Lake Gaston looking like a postcard here. Either of those shots to Chris. It's just a beautiful evening out there. It's been a little bit breezy for us today. That's kind of the only kind of inconvenience, if you will. In fact, perfect timing for TV right there. The boat going on by. It was a beautiful start to the weekend, albeit, like I said, a little bit breezy. There's a look at our maximum wind gusts here since about midnight. Most places about 25 to 30, even 33 mile per hour wind gusts here as we check out our Rocky Mount area. They will start to relax a little bit into tonight. We're already seeing that right now. They're at about 5 to 10 miles an hour with the gusts just about what you're seeing on this map. 8 there in Goldsboro, a very calm in Clinton right now. Temperatures are at 67 in Raleigh and Durham. Good evening to both of you. 61 as we head up toward Roxboro, 64 in South Hill. And we're at 69, very close to 70 in Fayetteville. So if you're headed out this evening, going to the fair, taking the dog, dog out. It's going to be very nice for that. And you can take this forecast and paste it all the way here for the next about 5 days or so. We have no big storm systems on the way. It is going to be very calm. In fact, close to 80 here into next week. And I'll show you that in a second. Into tonight, though, upper 40s, low 50s. It'll be cool if you're headed out to the ferry. You may want that light jacket just to kind of keep you comfortable here this evening. Upper 60s and low 70s for us tomorrow. It will be exactly the same as what we've seen for our Saturday. A little bit breezy, temperatures very close to 70, and sunshine across the board. We head into the upcoming week, though, with our normal right about 71. We're going to be at or below that for both Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. But notice those temperatures Wednesday and Thursday. We really start to climb, getting very close to 80 degrees in some spots by Thursday. So if you don't love this fall-like weather, we're going to be doing the flip side of it here later on this week. However, if you want to head out and enjoy the fall weather, the fall colors, here's a look at our current fall foliage map. Across most of the triangle here, central North Carolina, we're looking at low color. There's definitely been some patches. I've seen the trees out there in some spots looking beautiful, but we're nearing peak here, if not at peak, back toward a place like Boone, Blowing Rock. Asheville is in that high color right now, and we're going to really start to see those pop, I think, even more as we head into the next couple of days. So we're running out of time here to see the peak, but I think it's going to be looking pretty here the next week or so. Here's a look at the tropics where we have Hurricane Tammy. Winds are at 85 miles per hour with this one right now. It's 50 miles north of Guadalupe, and we're going to continue to watch this be a pretty strong hurricane, a Category 2 there into Tuesday and Wednesday. Bermuda's right up on the top of your screen. It should be weakening by the time it gets close to Bermuda, but I do think they could see some impacts, so we'll have to watch that one closely. Otherwise, no direct impacts to the United States, thankfully. Here's our other area that we're watching. This was newly added as a 20% chance of development here in the southwestern Caribbean Sea. All that this is going to do is bring some rainfall here to Central America. Those are the only two we're watching, and at this point does not look like a big time deal, but we'll continue to track those pretty closely for you. We're at 70 into tomorrow, 67 on Monday. A beautiful forecast here, Chris, as we head through this week. Back near 80 by Thursday, sunshine, and it will be dry here for everyone.
That's the North Carolina fall that I was sold on when I came down here.
Loving it.
All right, thanks, Anthony. Casey Hintz over in sports. Hey, Casey.
You know what? There's one word to describe the Duke Blue Devils. Unfazed tonight. You know why? Because they've played six games. Three of them have come in the primetime national slot. Plus.
And he said, you're going to die now. You're going to eat the poison cheese and you're going to die.
I'm going to go ahead and let you sit and ponder what poisonous cheese has to do with UNC's matchup tonight against Virginia.
They're not going to a bowl game, so their only chance to save their season is beat you. And you aren't even thinking about them. So he said, you're like that big rat that's eating the poison cheese. And he said, you're going to die now. You're going to eat the poison cheese and you're going to die. And I mean, I got scared to death sitting there on the phone. I'm saying, I got you, coach. Okay.
The year was 2005. Mack Brown has Bill Parcells on the phone. His Texas team is 10-0, ranked number 2 in the nation. And a struggling Texas A&M team was ready to ruin a perfect season. And they almost did before the Longhorns pulled away in the second half of that game. Fast forward nearly 20 years, Brown has given his guys that same fair warning with a 1-5 Virginia town in town tonight.
So you can't sit around and eat the poison cheese. You can't listen to the talk. You can't pat yourself on the back because we're human beings. We're human beings. So we know Virginia's going to play hard Saturday night. We knew Miami was going to play hard Saturday night. How are we going to play? Are we going to walk around all week and be cool and talk about all these stats about how many times we've been 6-0? Better not, because then you won't be 7-0.
Riley Leonard is a true game-time decision tonight as Duke is on the road for a massive showdown with number 4, Florida State. Henry Beilin, the 4th, could get his second career start tonight. But the Blue Devils, you know what, they're a little bit more than just their quarterback. Duke's defense among the best in the nation. They're ranked 1st in the ACC, 4th in the entire FBS. 3rd primetime time game for these guys. They're used to it by now, and they're not making it bigger than it already is.
We know how to handle it now and kind of manage, you know, your mentality going into the game. And like we've got a veteran group who's played a lot of college football. So, I mean, that's not, you know, we're ready to go. It's just, you know, it's a football game still at the end of the day when you take all the hype around it. So we're going to go out there and, you know, we're going to go try to get a win.
Well, the first year went pretty good for John Shire and his Duke Blue Devils, so why not lock him in for at least six more years? Shire confirmed his extension after last night's countdown to craziness. Now Duke returns four of its five starters, which says a lot for a program that could easily filter one-and-dones in and out of this program. So while Shire said he's thankful for Duke, Nina King, and this opportunity, for him, it's really all about the players.
I was a little bit emotional just watching them out there, because what happens is we have 12 guys on scholarship. All 12 of them were being recruited by other places. They could have gone pro. They could have done other things. And I told the crowd they're committed to Duke. And they, hopefully everybody in this room knows I'm committed to Duke too. And so that's been something for me. Just seeing the crowd tonight, seeing the support, has been such a special thing. But it's an honor for me to be the coach, and I'll never take that for granted.
I think we just have to stick true to who we are and hope we put on a good performance, and as a result, get a good positive result.
The Courage, just a little over 24 hours out from its first home playoff game since 2019. The ladies will host Gotham FC. First touch at 7 p.m. tomorrow from Wake Med Soccer Park. And boy, it's been a loosey-goosey kind of a start for the Carolina Hurricanes. They're scoring plenty of goals, but they're also giving up a lot as well. Tonight, the fellas will look to tighten up against Colorado. It's the final game in the West Coast road swing. They're 2-2. Right now, the Avs are 4-0 to start the season.
They're just getting started. Plenty of time to tighten up.
Absolutely, yes.
All right, thanks for joining us here tonight. Make sure to catch us at 10 o'clock for our news at Fox 50 and 11 o'clock here on WREL.